Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Thank you, Jesus. We look to you, we look to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's all be seated. And let's keep ourselves in that real consciousness of God's presence today. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see you. Welcome. Had a good time already. I think if I went home now, had a pretty good time. What about you? Katrina, do I say, or Katriona?
Cat.
There you go. That was easy. Good to see you. Lovely to have John and Risha with us.
Yep.
So that's always nice to see these guys. They actually live in Essex.
Wow.
And but praise God, they've got family in Staines, so we get to see them pretty regularly, and we're glad you're here. And great to have our three of our students here. And look, all the way from Barrow, Inverness, England's own Las Vegas. It's lovely to have you. How are you today? You good? Fantastic. Excellent, excellent. So I want to pick up a little bit to share a little bit. You've heard some really good stuff today, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've been helped, and it's good to be helped. And we had a good time worshiping God, and I'm glad you're here. But I want to share just a little bit. The topic there is living all out for Jesus. That's a pretty darn good topic. When I thought of that message, I thought, now there's a good title for a message. My message has nothing to do with that. I just thought it was a good topic. No. Living all out for Jesus. So I want to pick up a little bit where we were last week. How many of us were here last week? You were here last week, Easter. It was a lovely day. It was a great day. God's presence was here. We had a great time worshiping God, doing what we do. It's always the presence of God that makes the difference. I don't know if you've ever been alone in a room, your bedroom, toilet, down the forest walking, whatever, and you've taken enough time to just to focus on Jesus and let all that, you've actually turned your phones off. If you haven't turned your phone off this morning, you all know where that switch is, don't you? I want to encourage you because it's a distracting. One day I'll teach you a little bit more about it. But for most people, most of the time, the mobile phone epidemic is causing much more harm than good. There's a whole lot of stats on how often we check the stupid things about, you know, and all that. And they're great as a tool. But unfortunately, we're raising a culture where they just have, you know. I went to a wedding once, and the instant the guy said, "I do," he's walking out the door, he's on his phone. True story, probably getting like some snap, like the whole world needs to see your shoes, you know, walking. It's just, but anyway, people are wonderful, but your success is going to have a lot to do with you being able to focus on what's important. So for the next, I suppose, 20 minutes, if I can do it in 20 minutes, would that be all right? I want to encourage you to focus, and because distraction is one of the biggest killers of successful Christian life and success of any kind. And so you know, I showed you the other week, I got it off some podcast from some leader or something, the magic button, the do not disturb button on your phone. Do you all know where it is?
Yes.
Yeah? Do that now. Do not disturb it, or turn it off, that's even better. How many of you, when you go to sleep at night, the phone's still on, because you use it for an alarm or something like that, just lift up your hand. Anyone ever been inadvertently woken up by some noise from the phone sometime after you wanted to go to sleep? Annoying, isn't it? I reckon I'm going to buy the old-fashioned alarm clock and turn the darn thing off. It's ridiculous. It's got us on hold. Can't even sleep properly. Anyway, apart from that, that's just the mini. That's the introduction. Told you I wasn't talking about this at all. Now, last week we had a beautiful time. It's good to be with you. And if you remember, and we made a big switch. I talk about this quite a bit because it's really important that we understand where we're going. We made a a massive consecration to God in the latter half of last year, where we felt like after 20 years of being here and 5 years of being here in Staines and doing all the different things we've done, and there's a lot of good stories we could tell you, we felt like there was such a sense of need for shift. And it wasn't that we were doing anything wrong. It was just that what God had in mind was different to where we were going. Not massively different, we're preaching the gospel, but different enough that we had to walk with God through some things, make some very strong decisions about what we would do here. And that kind of started, the 1st of January was like a whole new page. So we've just finished a quarter of that, and it's really been significant. God is really doing something in our hearts. I'm really thrilled that the guys, the team of guys, is in great health. And what you want to know, if you've never written it down or thought it before, health is far more important than growth. In your personal life, in your family, and in church life and ministry. Health is what you're looking for. If something's healthy, it'll grow. Sometimes people overlook health in their mad panic for growth, and the quality of what they have isn't what they really want at the end of the day. And you only get this one shot at your life, so try and keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself spiritually healthy. And certainly as a church, we want to do that. As a church community, keep health, which has a lot to do with the presence of God at the core of everything we do. So we made that transition, and last week we had a wonderful week because we had an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel, and we had six different people that responded to the gospel. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. If I were you, there's six names. Yeah. And of those six, five came forward for prayer. Sometimes people don't, and I encourage them to. I'll always encourage them to, because I want to help you. But I tell you, it's when we start to see people giving their lives to Jesus or rededicating their lives to Jesus, that is a great thing for the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. Thinking of the Salvation Army and William and Catherine Booth, that was what made their heart beat. They were not interested in feeding or clothing or giving jobs to people who lacked without the preaching of the gospel. In fact, Booth prophesied that the day would come when we'd have all that. We'd have all the helping the poor and doing that, and they're good things to do, but without the preaching of the gospel, he wouldn't have a bar of it. I like people like that. English, you see. Nottingham. He was from Nottingham. Very difficult start to life, but a wonderful, wonderful story. And the more I think and the more I pray and the more our team is praying, I don't know if you can feel that difference, but our heart is to see people connect with God. And so it was thrilling. Last week to lead five people in a prayer, either for the first time or for a very real rededication to Jesus. What you don't know, because Carrie hasn't got to share that, is that she met with the youth. We've got a lot of opportunities for stuff if you would like to help us out. You noticed that Owen was on the percussion today, didn't you? And you know, he's not Jack DeJohnette, for those that know jazz drummers, but he did a great job. But we have lots of things that you can do. So if you've got skills or abilities, get involved. Be part of what we're doing. Youth is another thing, you know, the young people. And so that currently ranges from kind of 10 to 16, that kind of age group. And Carrie met with them for Easter. And without really having a discussion particularly, without really going in that direction, that wasn't on the agenda, she was chatting with the girls there, and I think there were five or six there, and I think they were all girls this week. The boys weren't there, and four of them all just came out with us. We'd like to get water baptized. Pretty good, isn't it? And so I said, well, you better make sure they know Jesus first of all, you know. But just that's a great thing. Well, those things don't happen without a focus and a dedication and without some prayer. And I want to say to you, as the leader of our church, so that's the direction we want to go in. We want to see men and women meet Jesus. We want to introduce people to the Lord. We want to, like Carrie was saying, carry his presence so strong that people just get around us and they want to meet whoever they look at you, Lawrence, and they say, I don't know what you're taking, but I want what you've got. That's the Spirit. That's what God does in people's hearts. That's what Christianity is. And really, without that, you don't have really New Testament preaching. Just me telling you the Bible and putting pressure on people. It's a response to God's presence and God's power. It's an introduction to a person called Jesus. And so I want to just talk out of that a little bit and just mention to you, because I've done this, ministering and preaching and leading people to Jesus and whatever. And I suppose, I don't know, there'd be thousands of people all across the years that have responded to Jesus, been filled with the Holy Spirit, given their lives to the Lord or whatever, and in bigger situations, in smaller situations. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I could do that every week, every night of the week, and twice on Sundays. We could have a service like that. But, of course, unless you have people that haven't responded all the way to the Lord yet in the service, you can't do much. So I want to encourage you and thank you that we're reaching out to people's lives and that we're praying for God's purpose to be done. But you know, the truth is that isn't a different, for me, that's what I do. And that would be really exciting to have every week to have five people making a decision for Jesus in that context. And I want to talk about how that works, and I wanted to bring to your attention a couple of words that are important, and then I'm going to help us live this way. Just a couple of practical points. We're on a mission. Everyone say we're on a mission. We're on a mission from God. Everyone say we're on a mission from God. I hope that makes you smile. It's from the Blues Brothers movie, but it's still true. We're on a mission from God. A lot of people are not. A lot of people are in churches. They don't feel like they're on a mission, but they should do. Because that's what gives your life excitement. A lot of Christians are just dead bored. They hardly pray because they find it boring. You have to twist their arm to come to church because it's not that exciting. You need to live with a mission, folks. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. He was looking for them all the time. And so our mission, our vision is to bring an awakening of people to God. And we're going to focus here in Staines. We want people to awaken to the awesomeness of God. If you've already met him, then we want you to see a side of him that you've never seen before. If you've been used in prophetic gifts, and so you're able to speak forth for God, but you haven't seen a lot of people healed through the laying on of your hands, then we want to get you involved in that direction. We want to kind of do what Jesus kind of said we would do, like everything that he did. We'd do the same things. So just shake the person next to you and say, wake up, you need this. That's what we're going to do. It doesn't exist yet. That's the nature of faith. One day, won't be too long, I don't think, and we'll have an increasing, even as we have in this first quarter, an increasing sense of God's presence and people come to Jesus and young people saying, yeah, I'd like to get water baptized, and people getting healed. Last week we were here with a Romanian lady. Her name's Lucia, not here this week. She doesn't speak any English, so her daughter Carmen, who's a part of our family, our church here, brought her along, and because that's good, because you don't need to. She interpreted the best she could, and Lucia, who must be, I suppose, 60 or something in that vicinity, roughly, that kind of age group, hardly ever been to England, if ever, came to church on Easter Sunday, gave her life to Jesus, just right there. It was wonderful. And then straight afterwards, Carmen said to me, she's had a pain in the neck. And she wasn't talking about her husband, Stefan, thankfully, you know, so. But she's had this pain and there for a long time, and Carmen's all full of faith as well. So she said, can you pray? I said, of course, we can pray. And we laid hands on her and I just said, I've got to do interpret. And I just said, Jesus, we're telling people that you love them and that you value them. Why don't you show Lucia how much you value her just by taking this pain away right now, instantly? And she's like, yep, it's instantly gone. And that's a great way to meet Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Is God's good. Now that kind of thing, you know, we want to see that happen all the time. The devil will oppose that. So you should be aware that if you hang around us and you hang around this kind of talking, you know, you might get a little bit of resistance. But generally resistance just will make you stronger. Like all the weightlifters know, you know. Not that I do any. But it's resistance that makes you strong. It's pushing through resistance. If you're a Christian, don't complain if there's a bit of resistance. Just think, here I am building my muscles again. I am going to be so spiritually hot. That's the way to think about it. So we're getting to shape this thing. And I wanted to talk about these two words that some of you might have run into before, attractional and missional. Who's ever heard those terms used before? They're thrown around the church world. Some people know them, some people don't. I'm not really a great fan of all those different terms, but I think it's important to understand, because you're going to bump into that sooner or later. And when people look at church and they look at our church or other churches, and they often more or less play one against the other, or they think, you know, one's more important than the other. An attractional church or an attractional approach to Christianity and church life is that you make Sunday a very attractive event. So the coffee is good, the music is good, the speaking is good. We don't have four-hour Holy Spirit meetings every Sunday, so we recognize the needs, the normality of people. We look after the kids well. We might do a quiz like we did last week. We might have a laugh about some things. So it's attractive to people. And that's a good thing. But missional is also very good. Missional is, folks, it's not just about a two-hour meeting on Sunday. It's actually about you from Monday to Saturday and the people you touch. Try and get them in there on a Sunday, absolutely. But recognize the fact that lots of people are never going to come in on a Sunday. Not unless they meet Jesus first. And so you're a vehicle, you're a person, you're a bringer of his presence to tell people about Jesus. You're on a mission. That's missional living. That's thinking. And oftentimes you'll see people will lean more strongly towards one model, if you like, of church than the other. I think they're both extremely important. I have a dead set dislike, and which I wrestle with all the time, for anything that's done in the name of Jesus that isn't excellent. I really struggle with that, because what I know of him, he's not second rate. You know, he doesn't drink cheap coffee. Oh, probably he would if he was with a bunch of people that all enjoyed that. But you know what I mean. I just don't. Even the clothes he wore when he wore that robe that they were gonna tear. But that was such a good quality garment. They said, we're not going to tear that. This is a really... Jesus was not second best. He wasn't cheap and nasty. And a lot of times the church has been like that. A lot of times when people who aren't often in church think about church, they think about they're going to be asking money for the roof because it's falling down again, building repairs. They will be a little bit dowdy probably. They will be probably lacking a bit of confidence. They won't be the most exuberant, delightful, life-filled, fantastic, with it, awesome people. Mostly. Not always true. Sometimes it's not a fair judgment. But more often than not, nobody is coming to church because church is the place to be. It's just so full of great people. Well, we ought to change that. We ought to be the greatest people in the world. And there is something that happens in a gathering that doesn't happen one-on-one. There is a presence of God. Last week, as we see six people respond to Jesus in that situation, that's the Holy Spirit's presence drawing people to himself. There are some ways that works easier in a setting like this than it does when you're just sitting talking to somebody, you know, in Sainsbury's or at Pret. There's a level of anointing called a corporate anointing that enables certain things to happen more easily. Are you with me? But if you take that to an extreme, then people forget about loving the neighbor, forget about thinking we've got some new neighbors that moved in just this week, bumped into him yesterday. So I'm thinking we're gonna get them over. I've already said that. We'll get you over for a glass of wine or cheese or whatever they do, and they're very nice people. And I'm a really nice neighbor. Anything I can do for you, I'll do. And you know, within certain reasons. I won't kill your dog. And even if it does yap, I'm not going to. They've got a dog, as it happens, and a little French bulldog. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway. But you see, even with that, I'm going to love them. Yes, mate? It's a little joke for you. And And so, you know, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, did you send these people? I'm sure you did. I'm sent from you. I would love the opportunity to talk to these people about how good you are. I'm thinking that. I'm deliberately thinking that. Because Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so the people in your world, very often you don't even realize it. But people sending, God sending people into your world because he knows that you can bring his presence and his word and his truth into their life. Now that is very, very important regardless of what happens on Sunday. Can you see what I'm saying? But then if you meet people and introduce them to Jesus and you're a, you know, you're a cool kind of happy, happening, you know, person that you can relatable and people think you're whatever, nice to talk to and so on. And then they meet you and then you say, well, that, you know, there's no Christianity without church in the New Testament. I hope you realize that. We get some funny ideas in our culture. You know, like, well, my Christianity is very private. I don't really go to church regularly. I'm not really. If you're really falling in love with Jesus, you will. Hello? Because it's his house. You just will. But the answer is not to hit people over the head and tell them that that's what they've got to do. The answer is to help them fall in love with Jesus. You couldn't keep me from the house of God. It's my birthday today. It makes no difference to me. I've got a card from my parents at home. I haven't had time to open that. On my phone, I've got texts from different people, my family and different people in this country and in other countries. I haven't had time to respond because I'm God's first and foremost. I'll get to it in time. I can live without opening a birthday gift for a few hours, but I can be in God's house. Oh, you've got to have a... Where else would you want to be? What are you going to do? And if your church isn't that exciting that you want to be there, then maybe they need you to be more involved so you make it exciting. There's an idea. I just thought I'd throw that in for nothing. That was a bit sneaky, but there. So attractional church and missional church are really very, very important. The real answer for bringing an awakening to God, for living like Jesus, for us to be able to look at each other and say, you know what, this week I did some things Jesus did. I spoke to some people and I could tell it was just like God was speaking to them. I laid hands on some people and they were healed, just like Jesus would do. I walked into a building and his presence was there, the Spirit of there, God was there, present to heal, and I did just what he would do. This week I spent some time with God and I saw my Father doing some things, and so I just do them. That's normal Christianity. That's for you and for me. If we're not living that way, we've been sold short. Whatever you've believed, it's short of God's glory and God's best for you. Because Jesus' promise is, the same things I do, you're going to do, and even greater things. So I know we're not there this week, and I know we won't get there in 1 week. But what I want to say to you is, if I am not prepared, and neither should you be, prepared to live a Christian life that isn't like that. Because that's not representing Jesus well. Hello? It's gone very quiet in this Presbyterian church. Thank you for your underwhelming response. It's true. And so that's a brain shift for a lot of people. They're like, you know, hang on a minute. I thought if I was this, that, it's good. There's lots of good things going on in the church, but let's remember this. The bottom line of everything, attractional, missional, all important, the bottom line is this, live all out for Jesus. That's the simple solution. If you want to be a happy Christian, if you want to be a fruitful Christian, live all out for Jesus. I know there are lots of Christians that don't, and there are also some that do. But many Christians are frustrated. They think the thing they need is the right partner. Oh, if I could just meet the right man, if I could just meet the right... How many do I know like that? How many do I talk to like that? And they're lovely people, and I get it. You know, I understand, and I'm not saying it's unreasonable. I'm saying if that becomes so overwhelming that you've forgotten that you've got the privilege of walking with Jesus every day. Are you with me? And some people think, well, if I just meet the right man or the right woman, that'll fix anything. No, it won't. That'll probably cause you more problems than you've already got. And if you're in a Christian marriage, oftentimes God will permit certain little abrasive things to continue to exist so that you trust in Him instead of settling down and having a nice, happy, comfort life. Because there's more to you than just being a happy little Christian with kids in a nice, happy little school, and we're healthy and we lived a long life and we have our health insurance and we retired early and we got to go around the world in a caravan and whatever else you want to do. I'm not opposed to those things. What I'm saying is that many Christians, that's more important to them than bringing Jesus to the person at work or the person in the tube or the person next door or the person you're married to. And we've got our priorities the wrong way. It's a really important thing. It's not a, you know, this week the church is doing. It's not a new program. This is the way we live. I'm just thankful to God that He took us through what was a pretty horrific process, to tell you the truth, in the second half of last year, to a place where we can feel like I can help people actually live what they've... See, Jesus said this. Let me just throw it in for nothing. He said, if you seek to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. I know so many Christians, and the older they get, I've known them for a long time, and they're still frustrated. They just feel like their life isn't what it should be. Why? Because you're hanging on to it. But Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, then you'll find it. Let it go. Just trust God. Just nudge the person and say, just trust God. All right, I've just got a few minutes and I'm going to give you a couple of keys. I can't do all this, but I can't do it all as well as I'd like, but I've got three simple keys. Are you ready? I hope that I've inspired you to live that way, because there's really no point living any other way. That's my personal opinion. And I think it's a biblical opinion as well. But it's very simple. How do you live that way? How do we go in that direction? How do we start from today and next week and the week after and the month after we see? How do we see more people still wanting to give their lives to Jesus, wanting to serve God, discovering what an awesome life it is to live for God, wanting to say, yeah, I'd like to get water baptized. How do we do that? Well, the first thing is this: live full of the Spirit. Everyone say, full of the Spirit. You have a measure of the Spirit filling you and cloaking you, a measure. And my bet is that if you could see into the spiritual world, discerning of spirits, which sometimes is a gift that operates in my life, you would find, my guess is that, most Christians in many churches would find that their level of the Spirit on the inside of them is very low. And if there isn't much there, there isn't much that can get poured out. Some Christians are so... they're drinking excessively because they're not drinking of the Holy Spirit and they're looking for some supernatural experience. Don't look at me like that. Oftentimes when we don't behave as Christian as we think we should, it's not because we're being naughty little Christians, it's because we're not full enough of God. And we're looking for a fullness of God, and we're trying to find it somewhere else. Live full of the Spirit. I love Cho's quote. Living full of the Spirit and praying go hand in hand. And praying is an awesome thing. But there's a great quote that I sent out to some of you this week. Nothing you can do will benefit you more than prayer. That's Yongyi Cho. I mean, he's probably in a pretty good position to make a comment like that. How many people turn up at his church on Sunday? Oh, about 800,000. That's pretty good. He's got something going. He's a well-respected writer, speaker, chairman of this, that, and the other. But what's the number one thing in his life? Couldn't do it without praying. He will say, I often can't go and fellowship. I often can't go and have meals with pastors like they like to and like you're entitled to, because I have to make time to be with God. Nothing you can do. So living full of the Holy Spirit. Here's this verse. Here's just a couple of verses that'll help you. It's Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Don't get drunk in wine. Instead, be filled, or really more correctly, be being filled with the Spirit. It's funny how it compares. The Bible compares in more than one place. The Bible compares being filled with the Spirit with being drunk with wine. Because you kind of get out a little bit beyond yourself. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting like this and I'm sure people think I've been drinking too much. But I'm just drinking of the right Spirit. Because there's just something about that. Now, I'm not saying you should be outrageous. I'm saying, look, if the neighbours are worldly people and they like getting drunk and partying, like many worldly people do, right? Or the pub, which is, we've got a pub over the road, so they have their band playing on Friday or Saturday night, and there'll be lots of people. And for many people, the idea will be, let's drink too much. They've already decided that before they left. And then anybody who likes that kind of lifestyle, they'll be attracted to that. There's noisy music, everybody's drinking, let's jump in. Well, you should think of the church like that. Except without the alcoholic part. But like having so much fun, just so outrageous, just everybody, let's just jump in. And people walk past, say, that looks like it's full of life. Yeah. Instead of boring, dead. You with me? Yeah. Quiet. Boring has no place in the house of God. None. You are not a boring person. You're a wonderful person. If you haven't discovered that yet, you're full of life. You don't have to be loud, like, you know, like me. I'm just doing my best to be me. Why don't you just do your best to be you? But you see, believing in you, knowing your value, being filled with the Spirit of God, these are the things that make the difference. Let me touch, because there's a great verse. There's another great thing. So that's a corporate thing, being filled with the Spirit. Now check this one. Jesus by himself. What did he do? Play PlayStation? Probably a bit. You know, if it was around. But he often withdrew to a quiet or a lonely or an isolated place and prayed. Often. Just part of his life. You'd think, well, man, he was Jesus. I mean, why would he need to pray? I mean, wasn't he right with God? Didn't he live a sinless life? Never had to repent, right? Am I right? So surely, would he need to pray? Why would he need to pray? He's right with God. He prays for fellowship with God. He prays not to get right with God. He prays to enjoy God's presence and to know what's the next step to do. And he enjoys it. And it was so important that he often did it in a place where there's nobody else. I can assure you his mobile phone was off. It's a good lifestyle. And then here's this third part, and we're going to close on this just because of time today. And I've made reference to this passage before. But again, this isn't a corporate setting. You notice that some of these are in the church setting, a group of people, and some are individual. They're both important. But here's just one of my favorite passages. These guys, these apostles, early church, Acts chapter 4, we've maybe been going 3 or 4 years as the church, all new, exciting things happening. And because they are publicly telling people about God's goodness, which is the sort of thing we do, then obviously some opposition arises. That's what Satan really doesn't like. And so these apostles, they're the ringleaders of this lot. They get threatened. And they get thrown in jail. I don't know if you'd like to spend some... Where's the nearest jail here? Up in Heathrow, there's... Up in, what's that one called? Bronzefield. Yeah, Bronzefield, but that's women only. Yeah, and what about... And that's maximum security. Moira was there, Moira Hindley. Then there's the one over at Heathrow. But imagine, yeah, I don't know if you've ever been to a prison. Would you like that? A couple of nights in prison. Why? Preaching the gospel too much. Then they were also slashed, whipped. Where are we? There you go. I'll go back one. I might have bumped that. Whoop. There we go. Did I get it right? Then they were also whipped. There you go. And so these apostles have been thrown in jail and they're later then whipped for preaching the gospel, and they come back to the church. They don't run away from the church. That's a good thing to learn there. When there's trouble in your life, don't run from the church, run to the church. Your natural instinct will be to run away. It's like with mum and dad. Or I've done something naughty. Run away. But actually, you'll make much more progress if you think, let me just talk to mum and dad about this. And hopefully they're understanding. And certainly Father God's understanding. We'll try and be understanding. But it's a very common issue. You know, stuff happens in life. You need God's house. You need God's people. And so they run to the church, and this is how they pray. Now, Lord, consider their threats. These guys are threatening us. And they don't ask, they're not even fussed about the threat. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That's the thing that just got them in trouble. It's like, bring it on, God. It's like we got whipped. Yeah, we'll go back to jail, no problem. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. Isn't that what we were talking about this morning? Perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. And then what happened? So they prayed. After they prayed, the place after they prayed, everyone say after they prayed. A lot of places don't get shaken because people don't pray much. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. That to me is astounding. That people's lives are at risk, that they're in jail, that they're maligned, that they're mistreated, that they're physically abused, and they say to God, we want more of the same. They had such a value for bringing the gospel. And when the pressure was on, they went and they prayed. I've got many more stories I can tell you, but I'm going to share a little bit on Thursday night, and I want to encourage you to be there. We're going to have such a great time. And that's going to be at Bridget's in our midweek. And then next Sunday, we're going to continue. Actually, I think Caroline is going to help us with some practical stuff. Remember that thing we did not long ago? We got prophesied over each other, and everybody pulled their pens and their lipstick out and everything. And we're going to the next level with that next week. I'll be here as well. We're going to have a great time. And so, but I want to close. I want to ask us to close our eyes just now, and for this final minute, I want you just to focus your eyes on Jesus, and respond to Him in your heart. You know, we've covered a lot of information. I love preaching and teaching and trying to help people. We've covered lots of stuff. But the bottom line is you and God. If we're here for anything, we're here to connect you, to get you filled, to get you on fire, to enable you to live a most amazing life. And maybe some of us here in our hearts are thinking, you know, I need to be fuller of the Holy Spirit than I've ever been before. I want you to talk to the Lord this morning. If you want me to pray for you specifically, then we'll do that after the service. We'll dismiss the service, and we'll just do that in a moment while people are having coffee. We'll pray for people, minister to people, as many as need. It's no problem. I'd be getting everything I can from God, because this is the most exciting hour to be alive. And maybe there's some here that feel like their whole connection with God is just not what it should be. And you're sitting there and you're hearing this and you're thinking, that sounds like the kind of Christianity I want to live. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Maybe you'd like to just slip your hand up and wave at me so that I can see you. And God bless you, and God bless you too. That's awesome. That's awesome. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anyone else, you say, yeah, that's the kind of Christianity. I'll pray with you guys. If you lifted your hand, we'll meet up straight after the service here. Just fantastic. Just fantastic. God bless you. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for being so good. Help us to see how good you are this week, to change our perspective and to fill us fuller of you than ever before. If you believe that, say, yes, God. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful to see you. Fantastic. God bless you. Thanks very much. That's very kind. And what a joy for me to be able to bring the Word of God on my birthday. What a lovely thing. So cool. Thanks very much. So over there will be all the coffee and tea and food, and you'll be beautifully looked after. There's some people that raised their hand. I'd like you to come just in a moment here. I'll meet with you and we'll pray. And then people who also want prayer and just feel like, come on, then come on out. And thank you very much, and God bless you. We'll see you next week or on Thursday night. Wonderful.